from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin. Yes?
We're out of coffee.
No, you can't be out of coffee.
Anyways, happy Monday, everybody. It's just another Monday. It's a little overcast. Hopefully, signals are going to work very good. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about the vice presidential debate and see what you think about it. And whatever else is on the news today. So it's kind of like a little bit of a open forum, so to speak. And Cliff, what do you have?
I'm prepared to talk about absolutely anything and everything that's been in the news for the last week. At least I'm as prepared as anything else because I'm totally unprepared to talk about anything.
What he said.
I don't have any idea what I said. That's the problem. I don't have any idea what I said. Oh, well.
See, that kind of fits right into the debate and the double talk thing that's been going on. But first thing I want to do, though, is go ahead and invite people to call in, 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room right now, KRBN, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. Again, check out our website, krbnradio.com, and you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio. Let's get some business out of the way first. I want to talk about cookies. Cliff went bye-bye. Dancing dog cookies. They're home.
You were waiting. You were doing something? I was waiting.
I'm just a little late on the queue. Dancing Dog Cookies, they're handmade by Tom and Kathy in Lane County, available in select stores in Lane County, available online at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Like I said, check them out, www.dancingdogcookies.com. Start out with page 2. They're really...
Separate bag for the dancing dog cookies for dogs and dancing dog cookies for people, and just sell them both ways, because you don't want to share your cookies with the dog. You want to keep them for yourself, so that way you can have people cookies and dog cookies.
Well, see, what I do with the dog is when I give him the dancing dog cookies, I give him the sad look and see if he'll share.
Has he?
No, it only works one way.
Figures. Dogs get pretty possessive about their food, I tell you.
Yeah, and those eyes. But anyways, I want to kind of jump in here and share. We got Flycatch in the chat room. Welcome. And he brings up an interesting point where, of course, he just clicked on something and brought down the screen. Said that he thought Ryan would lose, but it came out a tie. Biden was nothing but a schoolyard bully, and Ryan was his punching bag most of the time. I have to kind of agree. To me, I didn't get a chance to watch the debates, but I got a chance to listen to them on the radio. And it seems, I mean, besides what they're saying, like Biden interrupted Ryan like 89 times or 80-something times, not that anybody was counting, but, it, you know, between his laughter and everything else, it seems like Biden was just taking the whole thing as a joke.
Well, Biden does that. That's just Biden. See, he was having fun, and he's far enough advanced in what he's doing, and he knows enough about what he's doing that he can do it and just have fun. But on the same token, he knows so much about what he's doing that, how do I say this, he's wrong half the time. He doesn't bother to get his facts absolutely straight. He has the basics of it, but he isn't absolutely straight about everything. And so he jumps in there and he throws some figures around and figures nobody will catch it and nobody will bother to check it out. But see, you got these people on television later on that are fact checkers. They go in and check out exactly what you've said and find out if it's right or if it's wrong. One of the things they do is they check what you said against what you said the day before or the week before or the year before. And to see if it's the same, which is absolutely stupid because, in my opinion, if you're up there talking to somebody about something, you can change your mind. You can change your opinion. You can change your ideas in midstream because situations change and everything doesn't remain the same. But the simple fact is, you got to at least get your figures right and your facts right if you're going to talk about something. And it's hard to get your facts right when you're Joe Biden if the whole White House has theirs wrong. And that's right. What he had a problem with.
Well, and throwing out sound bites, too. Ryan tried to, like you say, give out some facts and figures and saying that reducing the tax rate would actually help boost the economy, and Biden was arguing with him with that. No, it won't. Yeah, it has. No, it hasn't. Yes, it has. You know, I felt like I was back in grade school.
Yeah, that's about it. You're back in grade school.
Yeah, it's my ball. I'm taking it with me. I don't know.
Well,
I guess the thing is that it would be funny if it wasn't so serious.
Well, and I will have to say this. It would have been better if you could have seen it because it does lose something in the translation of just hearing it because it does make a difference when you're watching Joe Biden and his grins and things. I think that people made too much of that. I don't think necessarily Joe Biden was ahead of the game by very far. I don't think Joe Biden won the debate if you have a winner and a loser. I don't think Paul Ryan won the debate. I don't think either one of them won the debate. If you go by the one thing that I consider the absolute best part of the debate was the final statement. And, of course, you know, most people listen all the way through, and the final statement sums up everything that they supposedly said during the debate. Joe Biden, his final statement really wasn't. His final statement was a joke. But Paul Ryan did have a final statement that actually said something and actually meant something. So that's about the only thing I can go by, the final statement. And in that case, by the final statement, Paul won the whole thing.
Oh, I agree. As far as trying to put winners and losers, I agree with you. In my opinion, there wasn't really one. It's just, I don't know, the way they handled themselves. I was also very disappointed with what's her name, Martha Reddits, the moderator.
Moderator. I love it.
We're out of coffee. the questions that she asked, and I did like the fact that they had the opportunity to kind of do a one-on-one with each other, which is kind of nice to see, unless they're going –
way ahead of it. I liked the first guy best. He lost control of the thing way early in the game, and he just let it go. And I liked that better. If they just give a question and let him fight it out, if they want to get up and go into fisticuffs, that's fine. But this business of interrupting him and never letting him say anything at all, neither one of them ever got to finish a statement to speak of. She kept, well, that's enough of that. And it wasn't enough of that. They never said anything. So that's my problem with the moderator. I hope this next one being a completely different kind of a thing where citizens ask the questions instead of the moderator. And I hope they'll let them finish answering the question in most of these cases. So although they don't give enough time, 90 minutes, it's supposed to be a two-hour debate, I thought, and it turns out to be 90 minutes. It's not enough time for them to say anything. There's not enough. If you ask only a couple of questions, maybe, but they're trying to get 40 questions in 90 minutes, and it just doesn't cut it.
No. And the thing I don't like about, I mean, I like the fact that citizens can ask questions. What gets me is the type of questions that they actually decide to present to them. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, but it's like one interview that Obama did on a small radio station where they talked about what type of chili he liked. Oh, boy, America wants to know that one. In the news today, President Obama prefers green chili.
Yeah, that's right. And there's, well, I don't know. I just, this has got to be one of the most important elections of your life in this particular time, because if we can't be saddled with another 4 years of Obama, whatever.
Well, and that you hit the nail right on the head. This is a very important election. In fact, more important than some of the others. And this whole election process seems to be treated as a joke. I mean, anywhere from Donald Trump coming in and teasing America. Yeah, let's get Donald in there. He's ran a multi-million-dollar corporation. Yeah, he'll do it. And then it was just a teaser to push his apprentice program.
I don't believe him.
Sheriff Kaelin putzing around the country with that bus, you know, kind of teasing, I may run, I may not run. Ha ha, I'm just touring. It's like you're wasting our time.
Yeah, that's true. She is wasting our time, but I believe she'll be running sooner or later. And she's, believe me, she has learned so much and learned so well. She wouldn't be too bad to have us as whatever she runs for.
Well, maybe she's a smart one because she decided to put her toe in the water to see what's going on. Decided, I don't want to be any part of this mess.
Not of this one, I tell you. She can wait 2 years or 4 years or 6 years or 8 years or whatever it comes out to be, and she can do something with it. Is she even old enough, hardly? Well, I guess she has to be old enough to run. She was running for vice president. But anyway, she's pretty young still. She's got a long time to go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like... And it's kind of reflected in the vice presidential debates. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're taking it seriously, to be honest, you know.
Well, but I believe it's you got to consider people are already voting. The early votes are already in action, and people are going out and voting. So believe me, I don't think they're making up very many people's minds or changing very many people's opinions at this point in time. I do believe that even now, I've heard so many people say, well, right now, if you vote right now, Obama will win. I don't believe that. I don't think that's the case. I think people have watched what has happened for the last 4 years, or what has not happened for the last 4 years, however you want to put it, and they've seen what hasn't taken place and what has taken place in 4 years, and they know damn good and well that we can't be stuck with another 4 years of this, because this will kill us. And you think our economy and our whole system is going down the drain fast right now. Wait until we go 4 more years. Actually, things are starting very slowly, very, very slowly, minute little bits to get better. But I think if Obama is elected to another 4 years, they're able to go back down the other direction. And as far as the major points, major facts, and major points of what's getting better, some of the major points are not getting better. Like the Arab thing, what we're doing in all of the Arabian countries that have their little fights and things going on, we shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be there at all. We shouldn't be spending money there. We're sitting there. We're taking serious. We're taking serious. And we shouldn't be, because Syria is friends with Iran. They always have been. They've been hand in hand. And I've always considered anything that is horrible about Iran is basically the same thing with Syria, and if not even more so, because we don't watch them as close. But we can't be there. We've got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, so touching that in a little bit. I just wanted to kind of – I have an audio here since we were talking about the people's interviews and stuff. This is a summary from an interview, a phone interview that Obama did with a small radio station in New Mexico, KOB FM. and some of the questions that were asked.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Mr. President.
How's it going, guys?
Our big question is red or green?
Red. Although, every once in a while, green is solid.
What's your favorite New Mexican food?
Now, if we were to visit Chicago, what would you recommend if I wanted to go eat some really good soul food?
Mr. President, I wanted to know, we're a pop music station. What's your favorite song to work out to?
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
I think the whole flying thing is pretty good.
Me too. We have something in common.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be just kind of swooping around.
Mr. President, I know your real favorite song.
He already does.
Call Me Maybe. You could tell us. It's okay.
Well, Mr. President, we appreciate you calling in.
Take care, guys.
We have a better date now. Remember?
Take care.
All right.
With the President of the United States of America.
And you're a moron. I'm sorry, if I had the opportunity, the ground rules for that was to stay away from politics, but if I had the opportunity to ask the President anything, even non-political, it wouldn't be what type of chili he likes. I'm sorry. And unfortunately,
political.
Go ahead.
I mean, The President is political. That's all the only reason you're talking to him. It'd be political. And if you're not going to be political, don't bother. He hasn't got anything to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But that's what gets me about, when they have the debates and people ask these questions. And, of course, the moderator goes through and picks up the ones they feel is somewhat appropriate. And it's usually the same thing. How do you feel about abortion? How do you feel about something that you don't, at least I don't care about? It's like, why the hell are you asking these questions for?
Yeah, we pretty much put a lot of those behind us, and we shouldn't keep asking them and keep asking them and keep asking them. And this business about they keep saying they want to tie Romney into exactly what his recommendation is going to be. What is what you're going to do when you're president? How are you going to do it exactly? Well, he's not going to tell you exactly what he's going to do. That's going to tip everybody off, for God's sakes. I wouldn't either. And as far as exactly what you're going to do, you're not going to know until you get there. You're going to have a whole basic idea. Your whole idea is going to be exactly what you say it is. But the idea of telling exactly how you're going to put this program together or that program together, you can't do that because, first of all, it tips off not only Obama, but the rest of the world as to what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. That can't be good. You can't tell Iran or Syria or any of these countries how you're going to do things because you're going to let them know what you're going to do. And you got a change point there. So you can't be absolutely honest about everything because you just can't do that and run the world, the free world.
Well, you got to be realistic, too. I mean, like Biden, and I can understand his point. He's trying to, what is your – you have this five-point plan to reduce the deficit. What is it? Tell us what it is. Well, it'd be just like me coming over to your household and say, I got a five-point plan on how to better your budget. And I haven't looked at all the facts and figures. I have an idea what I'd like to do, but until I had full access to your checking account, your income, and everything else, I can't get in there and give you details until I see the numbers. And it'd be stupid of me to come in there and say, "Well, Cliff, we're going to cut your food budget by 35%, and so on that way."
The idea is you can't do the specifics. You can't do the actual telling exactly what the specifics are of anything until you've actually gotten to the point that you know what the specifics are of them. And so you have to leave it alone and leave it open until you can find out what you're doing. You don't know what you're going to be doing when you're 10 months away from actually getting there. Actually, come to think of it, we're only about 3 or 4 months against him actually being put into office, whoever it happens to be. But you can't actually say exactly what you want to do until you actually know what it is that you have to do. And you can't do that. You can't know that until you're in the position to know that. You got to be in the position of knowing. How do I say that? It's just that's one of those things that you have to know what you're going to do ahead of time. You know, when you're making a plan, say you're making a business plan for your business, you don't tell what you're going to do day by day and how much money you're going to spend and how much money you're going to make because you don't know it. You do this whole thing in approximates, possibly, and then you work on those and work with those, at least with the idea of how to do what you want to do and when you want to do it. You don't know exactly what it's going to be, and so you can't tell somebody else. This doesn't work that way anyway. So are you on the phone or still are you there?
I'm briefly on the phone, and I apologize.
Okay, no problem. But basically, anyway, the whole world, it's not just the United States that's got a problem with what's going on right now. The whole world is in financial trouble because it's all of the countries. All the different countries have a problem. The only country that isn't actually having financial problems is Germany. And they're about the best off of any of them. But, you know, France and Spain and Italy, all of these countries are borrowing money if they can from Germany. I don't know how long that. Well, I do know how long that's going to go on. It's stopping right now because Germany is coming to the point that they can't just keep loaning money to everybody. But the point is, China. You know, we've been depending on China and they're buying and selling things, and their economy is going down too. And so consequently, when China goes down, we're all going to go down. That's, you know, we can't borrow money from somebody who doesn't have money. China's a little different thing because China saves our money, our currency, and they actually save that and they loan it back to us, and they do that for that purpose. They save it for that purpose, to loan it back to us, and we are stupid enough to borrow it, and we can't keep that up forever. I mean, there's got to be a limit to that. And as far as the deficit is concerned, you know, most of that is being, well, it's not Japan or not China that we're borrowing it all from, but that's a point that we've got to make a change in as well.
They didn't touch on that during the debates. I don't recall, did they? Vice President Warren.
No. I think Paul Ryan would have tried, but he was busy trying to answer questions from Joe Biden that didn't mean anything because they were not really legitimate questions. That's why.
See, when it comes, like you were mentioning about China, I mean, I know this is a little off topic, kind of, but when I found out that we were borrowing money from China, the first question that came to mind is, what the hell are we doing borrowing money from anybody? We're giving away tons of money. We're spending like crazy. And, I mean, if you and I did that, we'd be in bankruptcy in no time.
Well, see, that's where the thing comes in. Romney has a way to not do that, a way to stop doing that, borrowing money from people. But he can't tell you exactly what he's going to do. First of all, he doesn't want to tell you exactly what he's going to do because Obama will sit there and call it his idea then. But he's, you know, the thing is, Obama is over his head. He's just simply over his head. He's way ahead of things that he knows how to do, and he just ignores them. He doesn't give them to somebody else to do. And then when he does give them to somebody else to do, and anytime he makes in a committee of however many people he does to do something, to figure out how to do something, then he ignores it. He doesn't listen to them when they do make the decisions. But plus the fact he's not in his office, or by that I mean he doesn't take a listen. He isn't listening to people. I mean, everybody says, well, okay, he can be in Wisconsin and still listen to these discussions and meetings by phone or something, but he doesn't. I mean, he obviously doesn't. He doesn't pay any attention to it, and so consequently he loses the idea. And we're not being led by anyone. It's just led by
The thing is, we got a rock star presence, and Flycatch in our chat room, by the way, brought up a very good point. We're talking about individuals asking the candidates question. is about the acquisition of GM and by Fiat. And, well, just the fact of letting GM not go into bankruptcy. Bankruptcy would have been a good thing for GM, in my opinion, because it would have forced them to reorganize. But instead, why are we jumping? I mean, I understand we want to protect the auto industry, but look what Lee Iacocca did for Chrysler.
Okay, you know, GM was.
Go ahead.
GM was not bought by Fiat. It was Chrysler that was. And they didn't buy it entirely. In fact, Fiat didn't buy it. They simply run it. They were given the operation of it, but they don't own it. I mean, they have a part of it, of course. But GM did exactly what Romney expected it to do. Romney said, well, let it go bankrupt. And that's exactly what happened. It was a managed bankruptcy. That's all that happened. And the thing is, instead of letting it happen as a managed bankruptcy, we, the United States, stepped in and handed them $50 billion, and we still haven't gotten it back. I mean, they have not recovered, they have not recuperated, they have not given the money back. They've played a couple of games of taking money from A and giving it back to the American government and then borrowing it from C again. Or they've played games with it, but they have not paid the money back as of this time. Chrysler has. There's no problem with it. And, of course, here's the thing that gets me. We shouldn't have done anything at all with it. We should have left it alone entirely because Ford didn't get into it. Ford didn't need it. And so there's no reason to bail out GM. Because they would have bailed themselves up. They would have solved it themselves. They wouldn't have let GM go under. GM itself wouldn't have let them go under. The union wouldn't have let them go under. But we basically sold them to the union. We sold the company to the union. And that's because the union votes for the president. And that's why we did it. I get pissed because we think Romney, Obama keeps saying we bailed out Chrysler or at GM. We didn't. We didn't bail them out at all. All we did is get them in trouble. And if we left them alone, they would have taken care of it themselves. They simply would have done that. But as it is, we saved the union's butt on that thing and saved the union all the way through. And now we have them to pay for. And so the unions are what's killing us. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that. The unions are definitely killing us, and we made it possible.
Yeah. Well, that's why the bankruptcy would have been better for them, because, you know, right after the reorganization or right after their GM became General Motors became Government Motors, you know, the bonuses that were paid out after that.
Mm-hmm.
And just it would force them to, like you say, manage their money. Speaking of forcing, we're coming up on top of the hour.
They could go ultimately anyway.
Yeah. 646-721-9887. And, again, I'd like to invite you on the last 30 minutes of the program. We'll be simulcasting with Brian from Live Truth Radio, so stick around for that. But right now, your phone calls, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to chime in on this or anything else that's on your mind.
We'd love to hear from you.
I have to put the plug out there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Get my contract.
Yeah, that's the way you make the big bucks.
Yeah. But now, I'm looking forward to the presidential debates. The one coming up to see how first of all, I mean, Obama got blindsided, at least that's the way they're saying it. And so, you know, he's going to come back, fight. He's not going to let this down easy. And between the last presidential debate and the vice presidential debate, even the Democrats are going, what happened?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard to say what happened. I don't think that he got blindsided at all. He just didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't care. He thought he was – see, he doesn't have the answers. He as long as he doesn't have that thing in front of him telling him what to say, he doesn't know what to say. And he hasn't known all along. So I really think this isn't going to make any difference. This is actually going to even be more problems for Obama, because he doesn't have the or even a hint of what's happening at this particular point. Candy Crowley is the chief political correspondent for CNN, is the moderator for this particular one. And Candy Crowley is usually pretty legitimate about what she does. But this time, he's going to be taking questions from everybody. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles that one. He can't possibly, unless they've submitted them ahead of time, he can't possibly know the answers to the questions and have them up on his teleprompter. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with it.
Yeah. We do have the commander-in-chief that's starstruck. You know, it's like this presidential debate is recorded live before a studio audience.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. For that matter, the next one, October 22nd, is going to be an interesting. Bob Schieffer is going to be the host of that one. He's the host of Face the Nation on CBS, and he's the one I think probably is the most logical for a host. He has the least amount to gain on that thing. And it'll be interesting to see, because the format for that is going to be identical to the first one originally. And so he'll be asking the questions and running the time clock, so to speak. It's going to be interesting. I really don't think that they're making that much difference, because I think people have already got their minds made up, and we're not going to be changing them much by the debates. Very, very, 1% of the people might change their opinion about what, and it's enough because 1% of the people can sway an election, but I don't know that they're doing it. The only thing I've got to say again, you've got to vote on this election, and you've got to remember that 4 more years of what we've got is going to be a disaster. Just simply that.
Well, see, I still would like to see these debates handled like the X Factor, with the panel and Simon on the panel, because I could just picture, like after Obama or answers a question of Simon just saying, you're just a pompous ass, or something.
Actually, haven't watched much of the X Factor lately. Simon's become the nice guy on the X Factor, believe it or not. I don't know what's happened to him, but.
It has to do with drugs, tranquilizers.
It has to do with the fact that he's getting old. He's been doing this for how many years now, and getting away with it. And X Factor has to be a little bit different. Has to be downplayed a little bit, because he owns the X Factor. He owns the whole program, and it's gotta be successful.
Well, since people have tuned in just to see Simon's response, at least that's what I did when I had a TV set, but that's neither here or there. But I don't know. I like the one on. I like the bring up the subject, like throw a dog biscuit in between two dogs, let them fight it out type of format, because you can. I like seeing them spar off each other. You know, even when they're saying, yes, I did, no, you didn't, yes, I did, no, you didn't. But, make them defend each other instead of just. Saying sound bites.
I liked the setting of the vice presidential debate, where they sat down across the table from each other and the moderator was right in front of them. And that was a nice setting. I wish they would do the next one with that setting. You can do the other type of questions and answers if you want to, but okay. Put them in that setting. Don't make them stand up and be so formal and so stately and all that sort of thing. I don't think that accomplishes anything except makes everybody tired.
Yeah. And also, it's kind of Obama's nothing more than an ankle biter, our chat room guy saying he's right. And I was just going to say about the comment about Big Bird. I mean, Romney used that NPR as a public television, PBS as an example, and used Big Bird. And, of course, the Democrats went ahead and ran with that. Oh, no, Romney's going to get rid of Big Bird. And then the people that own the rights to that finally just said, you know, we don't want to be involved in this. Just let, you know, stop talking about us.
First place, Big Bird was a bad example because Big Bird actually brings in more money than any other Sesame Street program. Big Bird makes $8 million a year or something like that, I mean, just by himself. And so we're not going to lose Big Bird. If anything else, they'll buy the whole goddamn network and run it themselves. And they can do it, and they can afford it. So we're not going to lose Big Bird just taking their money that the general government has allotted for public broadcasting has been cut back by a huge amount. I don't know exactly how much, but it's already been done. And so to cut the rest of it back wouldn't be much of a problem. I mean, every let's face it, we're still going to have begathons going on twice a year for trying to support the different programs that are available. And I do listen to public broadcasting, PBS. I listen to it. I don't watch it that much, but I do listen to it once in a while because it's the only station in the morning that is on giving news when I wake up. So yeah. I do. I it's as little money as I have. I give a whole $5 to it because I believe if everybody gave $5, it'd be a lot of money there. But still, I don't give enough to support the programmer. As I wish I had more money to give, I would, but I don't. But I do like to listen to their news and information on that. Okay. I don't listen to Big Bird. I don't have any kids. I don't watch Big Bird. I don't care about Big Bird. But I do know that a lot of people would be very upset to lose that babysitter that Big Bird is. And you know, setting the kids down and sitting them in front of the television set and letting Big Bird babysit.
Hey, Big Bird's a lot better than I love you, you love me. But now, Flycatch in our chat room, by the way, 646-721-9887 made a good point. He says Obama canceled NASA, so Romney can cancel PBS. And excellent point. And also the fact too, when you talk about Obama and Romney, we're outsourcing NASA. To the Russians and to, well, we've got a private company, too, that's doing it. But, you know, when you're comparing outsourcing.
Well, we did. We outsourced one flight because it was not enough time. Because, see, the people, NASA, didn't believe they would actually be cut off. And so they waited until the last minute and they were cut off. And so we had to outsource at least one shuttle flight to Russia. But that was not a permanent thing. We do have American flights that will be running and be up, and I guess we just had one take off, didn't we?
Yeah, in fact, it had a flaw in it on an engine, and they had to drop the payload, I think, or something. I'm not too clear on it. I saw a brief thing about it.
Yeah, but there's no problem with them. I mean, if NASA can put it together and make it work, we can. You know, they can simply show other people how to. I mean, there's a way to around that. We don't have to sit back here and cry about spilled milk, because we can always work out a way to get this whole thing if we want it, and we obviously seem to want it for some reason or other. I'm not sure why, but you know, we're sharing that particular hole in space with Russia anyway and other countries, so you know. This is going to happen. We can't afford to do this on our own because we've got our money in too many places at once. That's just all there is to it.
Well, yeah, and speaking of, I don't want to stay too far off topic, but the space shuttle was recently moved, I believe, to California, and they had to chop down a bunch of trees and stuff to get it to where its resting place. And I didn't hear too much. Well, if it was in Eugene, they'd be going, oh, no, we can't cut down the trees.
Well, the route that they used to do that was made long ahead of time, and they made arrangements right ahead of time and made arrangements as to what trees to cut down ahead of time. They also had to take down overhead lines, phone lines and power lines and such things. You know, there's got to be a reason for doing that, because they could have simply taken that tail off, just snipped it, and we wouldn't have to do that. And the wings, this thing is big, but it's not that big, for God's sakes. And it wouldn't have been too difficult to take it. This has got to have been done for purposes of being able to see it. It's got to be, there's no other reason, because they could have easily done that not and moved it without that. There's got to be a way they could have, I mean, that can be disassembled easily enough, I'm sure. They built it, they can make it, take it apart.
Well, according to CBS News, over 400 trees were cut for the Space Shuttle Endeavor.
That's true, but that's over, what, 27 miles?
Yes.
Something like that.
Sorry. In the chat room, the mayor of L.A. is turning L.A. into a taco stand. So
that wouldn't be that bad. You'd probably make some money.
Exactly. Well, we need natural gas.
Okay. Ooh, that's terrible.
646-721-9887. Get me out of this.
Why? You put yourself in it. God.
Moving right along. Speaking of Obama, and I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here. Just from what I was listening to the news last night, when we had a world leader, I think that's what was it, the president of Syria, Yahoo, I think his name is, the one that Obama, Netanyahu, the one that Obama snubbed at a party.
That's Israel. That's not Syria. That's Israel.
It's Syria, okay. This is called not being prepared, folks. But the point is that he snubbed this guy at a get-together at the White House, and then recently snubbed him again to go on The View, and did have a telephone interview with him. I suppose it wasn't even a video chat. And I guess that, and I apologize for not being prepared, but I guess the country where he's from is very insulted about the way they're being treated. And, you know, I don't blame them. When you have a leader from any country come over, you know.
When he was with NATO, he went on television and showed how far he'd go. Apparently he has a certain point that he has to then declare war on Iran, as a matter of fact. That's what they're going to do. And in order to do that, see, Obama didn't bother to listen to him. He hasn't listened to him for a while. Mr. Obama has been on the outs with Netanyahu for quite some time now, and it's not getting any better. And that's one place where Romney is actually friends with Netanyahu and has been for quite a while, and that could help us out a lot right away and immediately. But Obama is completely lost there, and there's a lot of people. You don't keep in touch with foreign leaders by phone. When a foreign leader comes, you stop what you're doing and you greet them and talk to them, because you can't see what they're thinking. You can't see how they're thinking when you're doing it from the phone. Of course, Mr. Obama has obviously already shown that he can't see what they're thinking and see how they're thinking when they're sat right in front of him, because he did mess up and pissed him off right from the beginning when he was talking to him in person. So we've got the wrong person in there trying to bumble his way through, and he just can't do it.
Yeah. Especially in this, you know, 21st century, where, like I said, you got the video chat. You have ways to do face-to-face interviews by remote, but that's usually when it's not feasible to meet in person. Well, like I say, he was in D.C., but again, you know, Obama's
But he's, Obama, really? Mr. Obama has taken phone meetings, a lot of meetings, just not just that one. He's taken a lot of phone meetings, and he doesn't get the gist of what's going on. He doesn't get the apparent list of things that are happening. He doesn't listen. I don't know if he doesn't listen carefully or he doesn't listen at all or whatever the situation is, but he's not paying attention. And when you're standing there right in front of someone and talking to them, you almost have to pay attention, except that that's what I'm saying. He's got a history of, even though he's standing in front of the person and talking to the person in person, he doesn't pay attention. He doesn't listen to what he's being told. And he gets it wrong every time. So when it comes to, well, I'm sorry, down to the point where when it comes to anything, as far as I'm concerned, he is not prepared. He has not learned enough in 4 years to be prepared. He is not consequently doing anything right, and he isn't about to do anything right because he's not a rock star. He's supposedly a president, and he's finding out he's not a president rock star either because his large, huge crowds are not happening.
And, well, then again, I'm waiting for the next movie to come out, you know, called The Man Behind the Teleprompter.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he didn't want to meet in person, because when Obama doesn't have that teleprompter, you know, like in the presidential debate, you know, he kept looking at his belt buckle and, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got a teleprompter built into his
From note cards, but note cards can't answer all the questions because he didn't know what the questions were going to be. And so he was trying to come up with the questions or the answers, but he's lost. You're right. Without that teleprompter in front of him, he's lost. So this particular particular debate, I get it stuck in my craw that these are not debates. But anyway, this debate is coming up. It's going to be an interesting one in that how he handles that. I don't think that they've made up their mind what the questions are going to be ahead of time. If that does happen, I hope we'll find out and hear about it because I want to raise hell.
Well, maybe what they should have done is during these debates they should have said, okay, I'd like to make a lifeline call.
What?
Like on those. On those game shows, you know, where the contestants get stuck on a question, it's like they can call somebody. They have one lifeline call.
Okay.
Like White House. I've got this question here that I just can't figure out how to answer. Quick. Okay.
I don't think there's any one person in the White House that can answer it either. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what the office of president is supposed to be. He's supposed to have the answers to all of those things that other people have gotten, and the other people go out and search out, find out what the answers are, and then they funnel it to the president. And the president's supposed to be the one who has the answers, but he doesn't. He doesn't listen. Doesn't care. He'd rather be out playing golf, I understand, and he'd rather be out. he'd rather. Go out and raise money and do his little speeches with the teleprompter.
Well, I'd rather he go out and play golf too and leave the rest of us alone.
Well, then who would run it? I certainly don't want to Miss whatever her name is to do it.
Nancy Pelosi.
Hmm?
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, that's. I don't want her in there. Right? That's. Definitely not. I'd rather have Obama running it than Nancy Pelosi, although she probably runs most of it anyway. I'd rather have, believe it or not, I'd rather have Joe Biden running things than Obama. He'd do a better job of it. He does make a little now and then a guffaw or a boo-boo or whatever. He says what he thinks and means. But at least I do believe that Joe Biden would be more believable. He wouldn't. I personally believe he has lies a whole lot less than Obama does. You know, if Obama's lips are moving, you know he's lying.
Yeah.
That's just.
Well, what's going to be very interesting is the controversies that have come up during this administration, you know, ranging from Fast and Furious, which the Obama administration kind of shocked everybody by executing executive privilege on the documents that they don't want to, and so Congress is having to do a civil action against him. This video, that this movie that this producer came up with, that supposedly caused riots and everything, and the producer's arrested, still in jail, by the way, turned out to just be an excuse by the administration that to cover up, well, I'm assuming cover up, I don't have the facts to do that, but they were saying that the riots over there were caused by the video, wherein since it was a terrorist act, and the ambassador over there was crying for help because they saw the writing on the wall, so to speak, and Obama went to the UN apologizing for the video, and now, like I say, it turns out the video wasn't at fault at all. In fact, in a way, the way it was presented, in my opinion, that it made them look pretty stupid. Oh yeah, look at this group of people. They just go riot over the simplest little things. You know, how naive are they? Well,
made anybody look stupid because everybody knew it wasn't right. Everybody knew it wasn't the way it happened, and nobody was looking stupid because they were busy doing their own thing and leaving Obama in the dust, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like I say, I just, what I tell people, you know, do your research. If you feel Obama's the best president, if you like what's going on, vote for him. You know, if you don't, vote for Romney. But, you know, Ron Paul, I'm sorry, the others, they're out of the running. You only have the choice of two. They're not the best choices, but that's what's on the table right now.
The best of the two is of course, Romney, and I'm not even going to go as far as you were, because I have definitely ruled out Obama. He is, everything about him has gone wrong so far, and the things that he's done, just the last three or four different items that he's pulled his little games with, as far as I'm concerned, put him completely out of the running. He spent 4 years doing nothing to accomplish anything except get us in trouble, and he has gotten us in trouble. And he is, you know, 4 years to pull this country out of the position that they've been should have been enough to at least get it started. And we haven't actually done anything at this particular point. Our credit rating has gone to hell, and everything about our economy has run completely into the dirt. And he's not making friends. He's spending huge amounts of money. You know, he is determined to raise taxes on the people who pay taxes, and he can't be used. He can't be. You're in trouble. We are in trouble if you let him go through again for another 4 years, because he himself said right there in the beginning that he wasn't expected to do more than 4 years. And if he didn't accomplish something in that 4 years, then he would basically let go of it. And he hasn't and isn't going to. And so we've got to allow him to let go of it.
Well, and the thing that it brought to light, too, if we take anything away from this presidency, is hopefully what we've learned, like the deal over the birth certificate, for one, from Nancy Pelosi, these famous words.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
You know, to remember that this is the attitude. These are the people that affect our daily lives, and we tolerate it. That's the sad part right there.
I don't understand how she can possibly justify saying that. You've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. No, you don't. You got to read it. That's all. And you got to read it before you pass it, because if you don't,
it's 2,400 pages. It takes 2 days and two lawyers. Why read the bill?
Well, you don't have to read the bill. You got the two lawyers.
Exactly. It's like, did you even look at it? Not to mention the fact what it costs to print up 2,400 pages times How many people are there to distribute it?
513.
Yeah. They probably just put it on a disc, and they probably used it just like they did with the AOL disc, using them as Frisbees and Christmas decorations.
Except they don't put it on disc. They do actually print it up. They actually have to have a printed copy of it. You see them carrying these things around on whole carts full of them, just, you know, all the time. You see them, huge numbers. I mean, I don't know if it's because it's keeping the print company busy or what, but it must be. Because you could do that on a disc. Everybody has a computer nowadays. I mean, I can't imagine any possible senator or anybody in the Congress that doesn't have a computer.
Well, they have a computer, they have staff, but the whole point is, what did we send them there for? You know, we didn't send them there to be millionaires or to play golf or to socialize. We sent them there to do a job.
Unfortunately, what we sent them for is to fundraise, and that's what they do all the time. They're out there raising funds so they can get reelected, and that's why we've got to change how they're elected, what time they're elected for, and how many times they can run. That's all got to be changed, because that's what's causing us a problem. That's what they spend their time doing, is trying to raise money, and that's what we've got to stop. We've got to stop them trying to raise money, and the way to do that is to limit how many times they can run. Of course, we're going to have the people stop running for office. So, see, the way I think it should be done is you should be required to run for office, be required to take an office if you're elected to it. In other words, it's you only have to take it for one term, be it 4 years, be it 6 years, whatever. But then you have, when somebody nominates you for running for the office, you have to accept. You have to take your term at running the country. And that way it's not run by people who want to make money. It's not run by people who want the business of feeling important. It's run by people who have nothing except that they've got their time to do, and everybody should have a time to do it. And this, I don't know, it just, there's got to be a different way of doing this than we do it now, and we've got to do it fast if we want to get Obama out of there and get somebody else in. But we've got to make some major changes in how things are being done, how things are being financed, how things are being put through. I mean, we've got to make a difference in how things are being offered.
Well, like you say, you know, set up so people don't go there to become millionaires. You track what they can get. I mean, there's gift laws in local government. They can't accept gifts or whatever, but how do these guys become millionaires? It's not because the job is $250,000 a year.
It's because they don't have to tell you where this money is being spent that they've go out and raised. They can keep that money and take it with them if they want to. I mean, that's there's got to be some reasoning behind, you know, there's got to be some limitations as to what they can do. And we've got to take this into consideration very, very carefully, because there are huge differences, huge changes have to be made if we expect this country to continue going on and getting anywhere. One thing I will have to say, just changing who's in the office right now would make a huge difference. But we've got to change the way they're elected and the way they raise their money and how they do things, because it's been getting worse and worse and worse, because everybody goes in and gets into office finding a way to make money. That's the way they do it. And that's one reason why I accept the fact that Romney is not there to make money. He's made his money. He's got the money already. He's got plenty of money. And he should be allowed to spend his money on it, for God's sake. So I don't think he's in there to make money. He's in there because he's sincerely got a concern about our country.
Yeah. Anyway, 30 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. And we're going to switch over to what's become a a regular feature here. We're going to be simulcasting with another Blog Talk Radio host. This is Brian from the Live Truth Radio. And so far it seems to be working, at least as far as the technology goes. So we're going to see if we can dial into his program. He is live right now. And like I say, there I go, bragging up technology, and it, you never do this. Number one rule on computers, never brag about it. Number two, never tell a computer how much you really need it right now, because it will fail you 90% of the time. So we'll go ahead and try it. Let's see. Insert the Jeopardy music, and it says the call failed. Or maybe that's because he's right there. So, Brian,
we are here. Hello there. Am I here?
We're here. I am here, and we are here together. Yeah, that's a song.
All right. I was going to play a song, and I decided to call in. It was past time, so I thought I'd call you guys instead of you calling here. Oh, you were trying to call in here, huh? I didn't see that, because I was trying to call you. All right. Well, what's happening today? What are you guys talking about?
Everything.
Yeah, a couple things. Highlighting basically the vice presidential debate and also our embarrassment over the movie that caused so much trouble. That was a lie. How about on your show?
I was talking about executive orders, and I was going to be talking about the debate, so that's a great intro into it. I noticed that, did you guys even know maybe I brought this up before with you guys last week, maybe. I could have. About the new executive order that he signed October 9th.
No.
No.
Yeah. Mainstream media isn't telling you when he signs these executive orders. You have to go to this, alternative media to find out about these executive orders. And the last one that he has signed, October 9th, was, and I got it's a long one, folks. It's a long one. So it's called Executive Order from the President Regarding Authorizing the Implementation of Certain Sanctions Set Forth in the Iran Threat Reduction and Syria Human Rights Act of 2012 and Additional Sanctions with Respect to Iran. Now, with that said, we have several that he has signed for sanctions of Iran and also Syria in the past, and it's like a stepping stone. You could see all this just through his executive orders of what's going to be coming along down the line, just like the other executive order. I put these two into my chat. I don't know if you can copy and paste them to your chat, but the Executive Order National Defense Resources Preparedness Act, it's an executive order. There's several that we aren't being told about where he takes control of our communications, takes care control of farming and farming production and everything in America. You can think of anything that your good brain can think of, he's going to take control of it. All right, there was even a couple in here, and I'm thinking that they were put in place because he didn't want the military to talk back. And here we got this one that I'm talking about, Executive Order 13552-2010. All right, this was in 2010. Amendments to the Manual for Court-Martial. And there was a couple of them in there. Let me see. There's another one here. This was in 2011. An addendum, 2011, Amendments to the Manual of Court-Martial. And then you have these Marines, Brandon Robb being one, and I forget the other guy's name, that were taken in because of their Facebook posts. And then you have just recently, through a lady that is the wife of a military man, a 17-year-old veteran that is in service of our country still, that their superiors are telling them that they cannot speak out on the politics of how they feel of one candidate or another at the election. They can't speak their mind of what they feel of the elections. If they do, they will suffer from an Article 15 and discharge, even if they have a laudable service record. What do you guys think of that?
I haven't thought about that too much, except that I can see it and I can't see it. In other words, they're talking about putting their opinions or their thoughts on Facebook for everybody in the world to see, and yet I don't know exactly what I would think of that, because I wouldn't want our military putting all different. Well, I guess the more I think about that, the more I would say no. Because if they want to put something out there, we shouldn't be. Well, they may know something that the whole world doesn't need to know. There are some things.
Cliff, you're a former service person, right?
Yes.
You were in the service, and I was in the service. We all took that oath, and we know our responsibilities as far as what we can and cannot say to the public, okay? We know that responsibility. But that does not dictate that we cannot speak our mind. As long as we don't give up secrets of the military, about the operations and everything else, fine and dandy. They still have freedom of speech, okay? That's where I think you and I might differ. I mean, you. I think you denounced me about a month ago when we were together here on the program, where you were on the side of against what I was saying, where the military actually have a freedom of speech. You know, they can sit there and say just about anything as long as they don't give out operational stuff, secrets, classified, you know, that kind of stuff. They can say they still have freedom of speech, folks.
I guess we basically have to be very careful to train. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, technically, when you're in the military, you are property of the military, and it is, you're not supposed to publicly, you're supposed to, like, serve the commander-in-chief. You're not supposed to publicly say anything against him, because that makes, it just makes everything look bad.
And when I was in the military, there were certain things that I couldn't do. I couldn't go out and make speeches because I was in the military. And while I was there, I couldn't go out and make speeches to the general public. So whether that would be like the being on Facebook or not, I don't know. It depends on what you're saying. And, of course, you have to be very careful when you're training the military to train them as to what they can and cannot say.
Yeah, again, they cannot reveal any kind of operations or anything that's classified, anything that pertains to secrecy of the United States military. But to speak your mind, that is called freedom of speech. You can speak that you don't particularly care for Obama's administration and what he has been doing. You can sit there and speak that you don't care for Romney being in president. You can speak that you care about liberty and you care about our Constitution. You can speak those things because they don't have nothing to do with the operational facet of being in the military or any kind of classified material. You still have a freedom of speech within the military, although limited more than what the regular public is. I mean, when you're in the military, you call people living out here civvies. Remember that? You know, we're civvies.
I think perhaps you better look carefully at what things you sign, just to what you can and cannot say, because I know I was put in that position. I was going to speak to a group, shall I say, and was not allowed to do so because I was in the military at the time. So it's been a long time ago, and I'm old now, so I don't even remember exactly the same. I know I was, however, limited to what I could say, and limited to being able to even say it in front of a group of people, not being allowed to. So I would have to go and look that up and find out what it was and get back to you on it. But I know that the situation did happen.
Well, I am almost 99.9% positive that I, as far as what I declared, is truth. The reality underneath the honesty that these military men, and anybody listening, anybody on your program, anybody on my program, They can call in, and we can hear what you got to say. My phone number for my program is 949-272-9418. You want to give your program out?
646-721-9887 is ours.
So if you guys know the absolute answer, go ahead and call in. Because it's vital, and you can see why. In my retrospect, in my looking at all these executive orders as far as court-martial, and then him speaking, telling the military that they can't say anything about the war. Why should he even have to say that if it's not true that the military actually has? Why should he sit there and you have to say that?
Well, when you're talking about Mr. Obama saying something, we can't be too sure, because I think he just says things to hear himself make noise sometimes. And as far as executive orders, he's decided he's going to run the country with executive order, and he's going to do it with everything he wants to think of, everything he can think of to put an executive order. Once he's got that into executive order, and once it's been okayed, how do we get it out? Get rid of it again? How do we go into the thing at the end of his term of office and change all these things? Can we?
I believe that everything that he has, just like we've talked about before, once we have outright through Sheriff Apile, the Cold Case Posse, and also Jerome Corzi from WND. I've had Jerome Corzi on this program before talking about the subject of the birth certificate, where if we get that out there and the information is out there for everybody to know, and I don't understand why there's not an outrage over it everywhere with true Americans, because if it is proven that this man is not a natural-born citizen, everything that he has stated, that he has executive ordered, that he has done, Obamacare, you know, all these things will become null and void. They will become null and void. They do not, it's as though they did not even exist.
The thing is, he's put out so much stuff now. He's made so many executive orders and so many other things and done so much. How can we even tell for sure what he's done?
What do you mean?
Well, how do we know what to know?
It's right there on the White House website. Every one of the executive orders, and I put just a couple here in chat. You can go to the ones and just backtrack to get all the executive orders from when he joined office, and that was one of the other things that I wanted to bring up, and thank you for going there. One of the very first executive order, do you know what that was?
What was that?
The very first executive order, and I'm going to pull it up so you guys have the website to it. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to put it in chat for you guys to have the website to it. The very first one, and Jerome Corzi has stated, and everybody else has stated, was taking his records and sealing them. And that was done on, let me scroll back up here, January 21st. 2009, the very day after he was inaugurated, he decided, hey, I'm going to put an executive order out there to seal my own records. My own records.
What records are we talking about? Things before he did this?
We're talking about birth certificate. We're talking about his school records. That's why there's been such an uproar, and everybody's been bringing it up, because you can't get to his school records, you can't get to his transcripts, you can't get to his birth certificate, you can't get the information that everybody needs to find out anything they want to about this man that has been sitting in our presidency for the last 3 years, 11 months, and some odd days. It is, what, 24 days to election of his second term, and we still cannot get to his records, and that was due to the very first executive order that he put on himself.
I find that really somebody gave him some information to do that. I don't think he's smart enough to do that.
Well, I mean, he supposedly, what's that, Robin?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, don't underestimate him. You know, there's a, especially when somebody's got something to hide, you know, our, you know, like you say, the transcripts and everything else, do not, they may come across as playing like they don't have that much brains, but they could be, like they say, the smartest person in the world. So those are the ones to really watch out for. So don't underestimate that he's not smart enough. And if he's not smart enough to do it per se, he's got the resources at his fingertips to make it happen.
Well, he supposedly taught constitutional law, but we have no way of verifying that. You know, he supposedly taught it. He supposedly is a constitutional lawyer, okay? But we have no way of verifying.
Heaven forbid, constitutional law taught before. That's yet to be scary.
It is. It's very scary. I mean, just looking through, I mean, you get anybody and everybody can go there to the sites I put in chat. And the initial site that you can go to check out anything, I'll just read it. whitehouse.gov/the-press-office/presidential/records. I mean, I'll just say it for everybody that they, you know, that are listening in the after archives for later. whitehouse.gov/the-press-office/presidential-records. That's for everybody. That is his very first presidential executive order. Now, the one that struck me is weird. Remember, do you guys remember anything about somebody, the rumors going out, and I've stated it here, of him signing a executive order that took and gave our water basins, all of our lakes, the ocean of the United States, all our water basins, they gave the authority to the United Nations. Did you hear about that one, one of his executive orders?
No, I didn't hear that.
Didn't hear about that? See,
I knew doing a lot of things by executive order. I didn't know nearly as much, obviously.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about as far as the reality underneath the honesty. You're not being told this by the regular media. You're only being told this by the lamestream media, like here at Live Truth and also KRBN News Talk. Stuff like this. InfoWars. WND. PAC Alert. Intel Hub. All these different alternative medias. That's where you're hearing it. The lamestream media is not going to tell you, simply for the fact that they are bought and paid for. Now, this executive order that I just talked about, I just put the website right there. Stewardship of the Ocean, Our Coasts, and Great Lakes. This is Executive Order 13547 that Obama had signed on December 17th. Well, I don't know what date. It did not say the date. It says Section 10, he revoked a previous executive order. He revoked the executive order 13366 of December 17th, 2004. So he revoked an order that President George Bush put into effect. But the glaring words within this executive order, which, you know, everything sounds nice. I read through the whole thing last night because I was told that he took control of all, or the, he gave UN all control of all our waterways and everything. The very glaring words that did it is at the very bottom in Section 9, General Provisions of this executive order, Section C of, I mean, Section 9, Sub C. In carrying out the provisions of this order and implementing the final recommendations, all actions of the council and executive departments, agencies, and offices that constitute it shall be consistent with applicable international law, including customary international law, such as that reflected in the law of the C Convention. In other words, he put it all under the umbrella of the UN just by the wording of international law. All our lakes here in the United States, all our water basins in the United States, even the ocean that surrounds the United States that is considered United States land or what have you, he put it under applicable. They have to go through international law.
Well, this tells
me
one.
To do anything.
This confirms the fact that I have felt all along. Obama isn't doing any of this. Obama is simply being told what to do, and by someone who's telling him. I mean, whether it's one person or more than one person, I don't know. But I don't believe that Obama is doing any of this. He's not got enough smarts to go back and look at things that are before his time. People are researching this sort of thing, and people are putting words in his mouth. And that's why we've got to get rid of him and put someone in there who doesn't accept the words quite that fast. But he went in there knowing absolutely nothing, and he still knows absolutely nothing. He's been told what to do, and I believe he's been told absolutely what to do, and he's being all of these executive orders and everything else, the Obamacare, all of this. He was given the information about all of this, and in the first 2 years, he had Democrats and the entire Congress was all Democrats, and they were feeding him information. I don't believe he did any of this. He didn't have enough smarts to do any of this, and he doesn't have enough smarts to get out of it. So we've got to help him.
Oh yeah, help his ass out of office. That's what I say. That's it in a nutshell. Help his ass out of office, period. You know, everybody listening, you can call in and voice your opinion. If we're pissing you off, it don't matter. You can call in and voice your opinion. Live Truth Radio's number is 949-272-9418. And please give your KRBN number so everybody can talk from your side, too.
646-721-9887.
All right, that's 949-272-9418 and
646-721-9887.
Okay, great. Please, folks, call in, voice your opinion. It's vital that we get everybody involved in getting this bastard out of office. And I use that word very succinctly. Bastard means what it is. Who knows who his father is? Who knows who his father is? Do you know? I mean, there's words out there that it's Frank Marshall Davis.
Why did he change his name from Barry to Barack?
I think it was Barack originally, and they used Barry when he was a kid.
You know, why all the, you know, we don't know. We don't know any of this. And for the liberals, the Democrat liberals, the communists, socialists, Marxists, sons of bitches that have accosted McCain because of his birthright when he was trying to run, how is it not that much more important for us to find out the truth on this guy that has been sitting in the office of presidency this whole time? Why is it so hard? Why has it been a problem? Why is it such a non-issue with the lamestream media? I know I've said why, as far as the lamestream media, they are bought and paid for. But where is the outrage with all of America to find out the truth? It's already been found out that what he put out last April was forged and fraud. It's proven to be forged and fraud. A criminal investigation has been taken in by Sheriff Apio out there because it has been proven to be forged and fraud. So why is this not an issue? Why are they downplaying it?
Well, and why are we making such a big issue over someone's ID to vote? And, you know, unfortunately, it's become a joke now is that, you know, vote early, vote often. Well, unfortunately, that's a true statement.
Oh, that's a whole other issue, but it's true. It's in the same respect about having a voter ID. Why is it that they have to have a voter ID and this guy don't even have to have his birth certificate in order to be president of the United States? You know? Why? Don't you
well,
when you, I mean, I'm almost positive. Do you remember, Cliff? I mean, it's been a long time for me, but I do remember faintly that I had to show my birth certificate when I joined the service.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to, most definitely, even back then.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a job unless you show your birth certificate or anything, but yet you can go vote. I mean, that's just like a YouTube video where somebody went into a voting place and they didn't say they were Eric Holder. They just said, do you have Eric Holder on your list? And they said yes and handed them a voter's pamphlet. They're actually going to let him vote under that name.
Wait, run that by me again? Run that by our listeners again.
Okay. What had happened is that this, I believe it was a YouTuber, went into a polling place and said, and asked the people at the desk, says, do you have, is Eric Holder listed on the list there? And he didn't say he was Eric Holder. He just said, do you have an Eric Holder? And they said, well, yes, we do. And handed the guy a voter's pamphlet. And he says, well, do you want to see my ID? I got it in the car. Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
Well,
I'll see it out there.
The guy that investigated the Acorn, all right, he went out to different voting places, Democratic places down in Texas, I believe it was, and other parts, also New Jersey. He went to New Jersey, and he was wondering if he can vote two times, maybe three. And they said, well, I'm not sure, but here you can fill this out. And they just pushed him forward and showed him the way that he can. And you have other reports of it. I just seen a news broadcast on Fox News today about another person doing the same thing, where people are actually being pushed and prodded to vote not just once, not just twice, but even three times if they can, from one state to another. This other person was from the state of Ohio and Pennsylvania. This lady is going to vote, or she's been caught stating that she's going to vote in Ohio and also Pennsylvania. And, you know, I know here in Ohio, you need to present your driver's license, at least the voting booths that I go to. But I heard on national TV that through Fox News, when they're it's one of their shows, that in Ohio, they don't even have that law where you have to present your ID. That's crazy.
I think we should change it to Brian Mayer, just like we do.
That was Brian from Live Truth Radio. Folks, we're out of time here, but you can pick it up on Brian's program, Live Truth Radio, right now, which is live. Again, you can join us again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And again, your emails are welcome, talk@krbnradio.com. Brian, thanks a lot. We'll do it again next week.
All right, you guys, this was a great conversation. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Everybody...
So anyway, that was Brian, and again, once again, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. We'll be right back.